You're listening to Morning Edition on WNYC. More than 2 months ago, Sandy's floodwaters filled the basement of Bellevue Hospital like a bathtub, and it's still drying out. Crews have placed floppy orange ventilation tubes around the subterranean space to act as a huge dehumidifier.
And they're constantly drying out the air to prevent any kind of mold or any kind of buildup from the moisture that was in the basement.
Chief Engineer Patrick O'Brien is one of hundreds of workers laboring around the clock to restore Bellevue to full operation by early February. Most of the hospital has been closed since November. WNYC's Fred Mogul recently visited, and he reports on some things the country's oldest public hospital has learned while putting itself back together.
Earlier this month, a ferry crash on the East River sent dozens of people to hospitals around Manhattan.
At least 10
News reporters descended on the scene.
Reports of people being taken from the ferry by the FDNY.
The Bellevue Hospital emergency room went into high gear. 31 passengers were brought in for treatment, all with minor injuries. But despite their bruises and bandages and the attention they received from doctors and nurses, Dr. Susie Vassallo says the scene was missing something. The most seriously hurt patients from the crash.
We had the lesser injured patients.
That's because Bellevue currently can't handle serious traumatic injuries.
We don't have an operating room yet, and we always have to have that kind of backup for any critical trauma.
Vassallo is standing in the ER on a quiet weekday morning as patients file in with flu symptoms. Since reopening in December, the Bellevue ER has been doing only partial duty. For the moment, it doesn't have an upstairs to send patients for surgery or keep them overnight for observation. Recently, Dr. William Goldberg arrived on his ER shift to find a stabbing victim had come in and been transferred to another hospital.
He was probably fine, but because we don't have all the resources that we normally have, they basically just packaged him up and shipped him over to Cornell.
It's a point of pride among staffers that Bellevue usually takes all comers, whether they have a bad stomach ache or a gunshot wound. Goldberg says not being at full capacity, even temporarily, stings a little.
It's frustrating for us because we want to do everything that we're trained to do. And when you can't do, you feel a little disabled.
To operate on patients, to house them overnight, monitor them in the ICU, or deliver their babies, you need rock-solid electrical and fuel systems. You need heating and cooling. You need pumps to move water and fuel and elevators to move people around the 22-story complex. All of these were lost in Sandy. Chief Engineer Patrick O'Brien takes me around the basement where the problem started.
All right, they just need okay to go ahead and do that.
O'Brien starts with the pump room. He points out the flood line, marked by FEMA with bright orange spray paint, about 6 feet high on the wall.
As you can see, the water line is above the motors, so that was our problem. So we lost these pumps.
Flooding wrecked the pump motors, leaving the hospital no way to replenish the huge rooftop towers that supply water to the complex. Only one out of four pumps has since been restored, enough to get things going, pending a longer-term solution.
A new pumping system is being designed to place two house pumps on the second floor for a flood, so we will not lose water again.
O'Brien and I moved from the water pump room to the fuel pump room. After Hurricane Irene in 2011, Bellevue hardened this room with a heavy steel and rubber submarine door so that even in the event of a flood, the fuel pumps could still send oil up to the backup generators on the 13th floor and keep the hospital running. But when Sandy came, these pump motors also got soaked and failed. O'Brien flashes his light inside the room.
We have 8 fuel lines that come in. We have a lot of electric that comes in. We hadn't had a chance to seal all of that up.
Engineers are still deciding what to do with this and other vulnerable spaces long term.
If we cannot move these fuel pumps, if they have to stay down here for suction issues or any kind of logistics, we will basically fortify this room to make it as waterproof as we possibly can.
Reconstruction is costing hundreds of millions of dollars and is a series of compromises between what can be done now and what we'll have to wait for later. While some large systems are being moved out of the basement to higher ground, others will stay put and could be damaged again.
At some point, you have to just make priorities. You just can't move every single thing. It's not feasible.
Bellevue's reopening can't come a minute too soon for other nearby hospitals, many of whose ERs have been slammed for months. Up at Weill Cornell Medical Center, the only other full-fledged trauma center in the area, CEO Dr. Stephen Corwin told WNYC that the increased ER patients were causing backups throughout the hospital.
We like to have a patient from time to being seen to in a bed, usually in a 4 to 6 hour window.
When it gets very busy in the wintertime, it can be a 10-hour window. We're now seeing 12 or 13 hours to get a bed.
In the coming days, newly repaired systems will be tested. State health inspectors are scheduled to arrive in early February. They'll declare whether Bellevue is restored enough to take in patients and keep them overnight, or whether O'Brien and other workers will need to keep plugging around the clock, and the ER staff will need to keep dispatching patients to other hospitals. For WNYC, I'm Fred Mogul.